Welcome to the show.
Hi, yes, thank you. Thanks very much for having me, Stephen.
Jafar Panahi is proving to be one of the most innovative international filmmakers. Over the last three decades, he's told many humanistic stories about the people of Iran that have travelled around the world. How would you describe the influence of Panahi on visual storytelling?
I mean, certainly he's one of those filmmakers in Iranian history that has been a pioneer, particularly in his earlier films. He was part of the new wave of Iranian cinema and went on to explore, particularly with form, I guess being influenced by his fellow filmmakers like Abbas Kiarostami, and having worked with him on a number of films as a writer, you could see that he has a huge big print. And not many filmmakers, I would say, to this day have shown so much resilience under the, I guess, the sanctions and the suppression of the current government in Iran. But he has shown that he's resisting that or standing up for justice has been through his artistic practice and through making films.
Panahi is obviously a very unique filmmaker who's told stories about a range of themes, which often include women, children and marginalised members of the community. What work of the director would you recommend to introduce someone who hasn't experienced one of his films?
That's a great question. I love his with the title Mirror. The Mirror, I find this incredibly innovative and so ahead of its time. I also really like Crimson Gold, which was his collaboration with Abbas Kiarostami. I think these are my two favorites. I highly recommend. And they were made, you know, in different periods. But again, he's exploring different form in his cinematic expression. So I highly recommend those.
Panahi has a history of standing up for human rights, which has seen him banned from filmmaking in Iran. Yet during his time, he's continued to appear in his film and other people's films and the secretly made films, one that was smuggled out through a USB, one film from a taxi, another directed remotely. Can you tell us a little bit about how Panahi's been able to overcome the many obstacles thrown at him by an authoritarian government?
I mean, I don't know if any other filmmaker, if they weren't like making films in his way, would have been able to actually continue their artistic expression. What he's managed to do is strip down the filmmaking process to its core, focusing on story. In many of his recent films, he is the one leading. He's the main protagonist of the film. He has shot films on mobile phones or very small camera, or like the one that you mentioned in the text, like locked off cameras. I think he goes through rigorous planning and therefore a simplification of the production process, minimizing the time so they don't get caught. It's quite unimaginable, I would say, as a filmmaker and a festival director here in Australia, where we, you know, we have the luxury of time and support of our government. This is very difficult and weird circumstance to wrap your head around, because you're like looking at not just like, you know, making a film is difficult enough, but then to make a film under the sanctions, under restrictions, from the government, and then also in secret is another matter, because it's a huge risk, not just for Panahi, but also the other cast members, the crew members who believe in what he is doing and working with him. Now, I know on a personal level, I've been lucky to meet him a few times. I mean, this has had a toll on the filmmaker, on this artist as well, which obviously we see him as this resistant filmmaker standing up for very important issues that affect our community back in Iran, but also it's worth considering the human toll that he's been carrying and has affected him.
In June, Panahi would visit Sydney to introduce his film for a retrospective celebrating his work. What was it like to be able to meet and engage with such an important artist?
Well, it was incredible. I mean, as I mentioned, I was fortunate to be on a panel with him, and I was so blown away and so thankful that Sydney Film Festival decided to do this retrospective on him, and then to have him here present, taking audiences through each of those films and his process, and some of that was never heard before. It was such a privilege. As an Iranian Australian, I was so happy to have a filmmaker in his caliber presenting his cinema to Australian audiences. And it was an enormous privilege for me, and I'm sure many other community members. And then to hear about his focus, on his themes, on the social issues that he works on. And then by not feeling down or stopped in any way by these restrictions was quite empowering.
So at the same time, it was also a difficult experience in Sydney for Panahi, because it was the week when Israel launched airstrikes on Tehran. And I'm sure that he had in his mind, you know, the fate of friends and family at the same time. At the moment, Panahi is currently in the US, where this sentence has been imposed on him. And it seems likely he's going to return to Iran, not wanting to be exiled from his people. With this situation in mind, how difficult is it currently for an artist in Iran when there's such severe punishments are meted out for any, you know, acts of free expression?
You know, like you, I mean, I watched the, when after the sentence was announced, and I'm so, I mean, I don't actually understand what is happening within the government in Iran and why would they do this now. Obviously, this filmmaker is so well celebrated internationally. You know, I've obviously shown the film, screened it just a couple of weeks ago as part of our program, as well. Have read reviews and seen it many times now. I don't understand what the problem is. And this is something that affects a lot of the artists in Iran. The laws are never clear. The lines, I guess, sentences are very, at times, it feels random. I think as an artist in Iran, if you're standing up for justice, I mean, and it's not just Panahi, you have filmmakers like Mohammad Rasulov, last year had to flee Iran because he was sentenced to prison and just didn't want to stay there and risk being arrested. In the interview with Panahi at the recent, just last week at Marrakesh Film Festival, he said that he will go back to Iran, which I find it to be extremely brave. But I also can understand that when he was in Sydney, he was still, as I mentioned, I spent a bit of time with him. He was on the phone with Iran every day, still following up cases with lawyers and individuals were political prisoners and trying to see if he can do something to help him out, and were following up their cases. I'm not surprised that in light of this sentence, he decided to go back, because I feel he feels a strong debt and connection to the community in Iran, to his country. He doesn't want to be exiled because of raising his voice and raising the issues that are important to him. I think he also feels this enormous sense of obligation towards other political prisoners, activists, and people who look up to him to share their voices internationally.
Finally, getting its January release is a film that very much is inspired by, Panahi said it's very much inspired by the experience when he was incarcerated in one of Iran's most notorious prisons. Now, the film's called It Was Just an Accident, and it won the Sydney Film Festival Prize as well as Cannes. Now, this film has just been nominated for Golden Globes, and it's a really gripping film. People are saying it's among his best. What would be your verdict on this film?
Well, I like the film particularly. I mean, you know, I look at the film for a variety of perspective. Obviously, the film should work as a narrative, and this film strongly does that. And it deals with such a critical issue. I don't want to spoil the film because it is getting released, as you mentioned. Both Iranians and non-Iranians attended our preview screening a couple of weeks ago at the Persian Film Festival. And it was quite interesting. I sat back and sort of had a chat with quite audiences. One thing that is absolutely true about the film is that it's quite gripping. It holds you on. It takes you on this emotional roller coaster about the extent and I guess the difficulty of coming in terms with personal traumas, coming in terms with a sense of suppression, and the I guess the sense of resilience that you would need to have to overcome it. Quoting Panahi himself in one of the interviews he did at Sydney Film Festival, he mentioned when you send an artist to prison, like this artist is going to witness, and he mentioned that like the government is somewhat responsible for him making this film because they placed an artist in prison to see this. And how did they think that it's not going to have a creative outcome? The result of this behavior is not going to be another film about it. I think whether, you know, people might have different ideas around the film, but what it is important for me is that it's an important act of resilience. It is an important act of standing up for the voiceless. And I think that is what Panay has done over the last years, not just for himself as an artist, but also for all the people like him who've undergone such level of suppression.